I mean, we're putting a foreign object in your body, mm-hmm. and that's causing a reaction. And so part of that reaction might feel like pulsing, or it might feel like tingling, or it might feel heavy or floaty.
Hello and welcome to You Know The Place, the show that explores all the local businesses, shops, clubs, and pubs that you always pass by, but maybe have never visited. I'm Joel Wayne, and this is my co-host.
Lacey Daly! I don't know how to say my name. It's weird. But I'm glad that I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We shouldn't have flipped it, and so that you introduce me and then I introduce you.
Yeah. And then it's just weird, and it's like everybody pardoning the other person.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's people just apologizing over and over and over again. What are we doing today?
Today?
Yeah.
You're going to be so proud of me because, again, just really stepping outside my comfort zone.
Because you're saying yes?
I am.
Okay.
It seems like a hard one to say no to, especially because it probably aligns with one of my fears. We're going to check out Boise Acupuncture Co-op.
It's a co-op.
Yes. So it's this little building. It's on Emerald in Boise. So obviously two things stuck out to me here.
Okay.
The obvious, acupuncture.
Sure.
Getting poked by needles, a.k.a. enduring pain in order to relieve pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just seems a little antithetical to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people get down with that, so yeah, that's interesting. And two, yeah, the co-op part. Their website, this is what it says. I quote, "We charge on a sliding scale of $15 to $40. You decide what you can pay."
Okay.
And I don't know about you, but I'm hearing echoings of India fashion and grocery here.
Yeah.
And you know how we feel about when people tell us we should decide what we pay, and it's like, well, I'll pay you $100. Like, that, you're so nice, and I don't want to seem like I'm cheap.
Don't hold me to that,
yeah.
Man.
So
I pay for my own health insurance.
It's an interesting business model, to say the least.
Very much so.
Have you ever had acupuncture?
I have not.
I haven't either. For one, the needle part. I don't know how I feel about it. And that's why I think you should be proud of me for even bringing this up. Because
I am.
You know, I do think my pain tolerance is pretty high, but I just have this thing about seeing what's inflicting the pain.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've donated blood, I've had tattoos, piercings, but in all of those situations, I don't want to see the paraphernalia, the apparatus. It's just like, just get it over with. I don't think it's cool to see my own blood. Yeah. And so knowing that acupuncture usually involves multiple needles and sometimes they're like on your face, and how do you not see
right.
that? I've been a little squirmish about that. But also, a second reason why I think I've never gone down that path, I'll apologize in advance to any chiropractors listening, because I do think you're doing important work and I like it. But also, you know, you go to a chiropractor once or twice and you get adjusted and it is great. It's like, oh, heavens, this feels amazing. But then they always want you to come back. They're like, yeah, so come back next week and the week after.
Or
and every time
a week,
it's
or
a copay and you're like, can I even afford this?
Right.
So maybe that's where this co-op part could be interesting to me. The fact that it seems to be their mission statement as a nonprofit is to make the service more affordable.
Right.
So.
And then, too, I guess I'm always curious, is it more like the model of physical therapy where the idea is they get you to a place where you basically graduate?
Yeah.
And they're like, good, go out, go back into the world, little one,
yes.
You know, and do those stretches and strength training exercises until you forget. And then you have to come back a year and a half later.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, can I now ask about your central concern, if we have not already addressed it?
Yeah, I don't know if we have, because I think I'm really interested about how this group came about. How do you get enough acupuncturists, if that is the technical term, acupunks? That sounds
like
funny.
That. Yeah.
But how do you get enough of them, A, together in one place, and then B, decide to establish your place as a nonprofit rather than a private business?
Mm-hmm.
That seems like, sure, it's probably part strategy, but also some part luck or fate, or, you know, that you just get enough people who believe in the same thing.
And they were born on the wind.
I don't know. It seems, because I know a lot of people who get acupuncture done, but they definitely go to these private businesses and it ends up, you know, it's a one-on-one session.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a room by yourself. There's massage involved. I don't think that's the case here. I think it's a communal room. So you kind of get rid of some of that intimacy and personal experience.
Yeah.
Is it going to be the same? Am I losing anything?
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure. So we have a set time to go and.
Do you want to get poked? Are you interested?
Yeah, I'm totally up for it.
I have a medical form then you have to fill out.
Okay.
I won't look at your answers. They're a little personal.
Yeah, but you'll probably see me getting poked, so.
True.
Yeah.
Should Should we take a break and then go get poked?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Joel, what do a flat roof, a lot of natural light, and an affordable price tag all have in common?
They're all features of a mid-century home.
Wow, good guess.
Well, I do live in one.
Okay, but did you know there's a local business that specializes in selling, renovating, and restoring those perfect mid-bod homes in the Boise area?
I did not know that.
It's true. Mid-Century Homes by Moniker Real Estate is the local connection to those affordable and stylish flat-roofed ramblers built in the 50s and 60s.
Neato. So if our listeners want to learn more about Mid-Century Homes?
I tell them to go visit mid-centuryhomes.com and make sure to mention that You Know The Place sent you.
I like it.
Okay, just pulled up.
Just pulled up. I'll turn the air conditioning down. It's a little warm out.
It is a little bit, eh?
So we are, off Emerald. I think we just went past Roosevelt there.
Little business park here. Here.
Here.
I keep doing that.
Halo Salon next to us.
Business. Yeah. Is that antiques? I'm not sure. But yeah, just one of those little kind of nondescript brick building business parks. I think there's probably room for four different businesses, something like that. Little parking lot in front.
Yeah. It says Boise Acupuncture Co-op.
Painted sign on the window.
Should we just go get poked?
I know. I can tell you're more on edge. I don't feel as on edge about it, but I can tell you are for sure. About the needles and...
Yeah. I was driving over here thinking, why do I do this again? I'm growing as a person. I know. I can feel it.
We grow in the discomfort.
All right. Well, let's go get uncomfortable.
Let's do it.
Okay. Hello. We enter the shop and start by getting checked in before one of the managers, Gretchen, asks about our prior experience with acupuncture.
Have you guys had acupuncture before?
And I'm so scared.
First time.
It's just all part of the job for you guys, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Build up my self-esteem here.
Well, for any consolation, it took me like 2 or 3 weeks to convince myself to do it. And then when I finally came in, I was like, what was I so afraid of?
Okay, I hope that's how I feel.
The pain that I was in before I came was so much worse.
Oh my gosh.
That I was just like...
So much worse than the pain that you were experiencing.
No. Sorry, I didn't mean for it to sound like that. I really am a baby. And now, ask them. I mean, I'm like a pincushion, right?
Oh, yeah.
Diane tells us what to expect for our first appointment.
If you have a cell phone, we ask that you turn it off or silence it before you go back. You'll want to look for a chair that's not messy, that looks like this when you come in, and not like this. Just means somebody else has been there and they haven't had a chance to prep it for the next person yet. Just inside the door, I'll point out when we go in, we have a shelf that on top has earplugs and cough drops. You're welcome to help yourself to those. On the shelves below, there's blankets, and on the side, there's pillows that you can use for back, neck, legs, whatever. And then you'll choose your chair and you'll roll up or take off shoes and socks, roll up long pants and long sleeves if you have them, and then you can kick back and relax until the acupuncturist comes to you.
We enter the community acupuncture space, which is a large room with about 10 sheet-draped recliners. It's a very calm atmosphere with music straight out of a massage clinic and low light. There are about 5 other people receiving acupuncture therapy, but in spite of our audio gear, they take little notice of us. Most of them are either asleep or some look to be meditating with the help of headphones. Joel and I find 2 recliners side by side and proceed to remove our shoes and settle in. A moment later, Gretchen appears, and I agree to go first while Joel records. She kicks things off by asking me if I have any questions before she starts.
Maybe I'll save them all until after I do it. I'm kind of like the type of person that... I'll try anything, like food-wise, if you don't tell me what's in it until after I try it.
Is that okay?
Yes, that's totally fine. Yeah. A lot of times the experience of it does bring up more questions, like, what was this that I felt? Mm-hmm. So really just experiencing it can answer a lot of that and can bring up other things for you. So, okay. Yeah.
Gretchen asks me for details about the things I marked on my chart before coming into the room. She takes my pulse and explains some of the things I might feel.
So with the needles, you might feel some of them go in, but it should be pretty temporary and not feel anything more than like a mosquito bite, like a slight pinprick. Mm-hmm. There can be other sensations associated with it. They're not associated with the word pain, but they can be interesting and sometimes they can be intense. These are kind of the sensations we're going for. They show that we're getting to the right spot. But if anything is too intense for you, doesn't let you relax, bring it to my attention because we can reduce that and ease it up a little bit. And those can be like an achy sensation, or you get sort of a traveling sensation. Your arms might feel really heavy or really light. Those kind of things are all very normal.
Okay, so Gretchen proceeds to place needles in a variety of places on LD's body. Her forearms, hands, knees, feet, and even up on her forehead. I check in and ask LD to describe what it feels like as the needles go in.
Kind of like a bee sting, but really brief. Maybe not even that bad in some spots. Weird. I don't really want to look. So the size of the needles is comparable to a cat whisker. They're very, very thin, and they're also very flexible. And they're solid, which is different from most needles that we're used to in Western medicine. They're more rigid, they're hollow, and they have a tip that's designed to pierce tissue. Ours are smooth, so they're designed to go between tissues more than like to pierce. So that leads to a lot. Do you want to look at, I can hold one up for you too if you don't want to see it in your arm.
Yeah, let me see it first.
It's like,
oh, okay.
Definitely flexible.
I'm gonna look now. Oh. Interesting. Okay,
cool.
Then it's Joel's turn to get poked. Gretchen sticks him in many of the same places as me, and then we zone out for the next 40 or so minutes.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
How
is
that?
I feel like I haven't seen you in so long.
I know.
We regroup outside of the community room and sit down with Chanel, Gretchen, and Stacy.
Do you have to sleep for it in order for it to work? Mm-hmm. Okay, good, because I did not fall asleep, but I got very relaxed.
Yeah.
And went through like phases of really good feelings and then like aching. Mm-hmm. So is that normal?
Pretty
yes.
Much normal.
What is actually going on? And I probably should have asked this before I just said, yeah, stick me with needles. I think I was asking, I was like, there's nothing in these, right? You're not like putting anything in my body after they're in me.
And I'll dip it in peppermint oil on that.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh,
no.
First off, it can actually be used to treat anything. So a lot of people do come in for pain conditions. A lot of people do come in for relaxation. We see a lot of like stress and anxiety, depression, mental, emotional things coming in, but like this time of year in particular, allergies are a big thing that we treat. We also treat fertility or hormonal cycle issues with women. So it can actually be used to treat everything. It's a very versatile medicine. On a physiologic level, so we know it decreases inflammation.
Yeah.
We know it ups endorphins. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of those things that we know for sure that it does.
Circulation helps the nervous system get from fight or flight into rest and digest, which is probably what you felt, feeling really relaxed. That's getting out of your, mm-hmm. like, I'm on the go, I need to get things done nervous system, and into your resting and healing nervous system.
That was going to be my kind of first question, too, was about, is there a physiological basis for why? Because I pretty immediately felt like, I feel really relaxed, and I feel like there has to be some sort of physiological basis other than the room's a good temperature and there's some nice music going on.
Yeah.
But so endorphins, I guess,
I think,
and
the
then
endorphins
yeah.
Help.
Well, and it, if we walk around, especially in our modern culture, kind of bolstered by a lot of adrenaline and cortisol, and it really drops those levels immediately. And what a lot of us have underneath that is a level of tiredness and a desire to rest.
Yeah.
I think a lot of patients also appreciate a time and space to kind of check out, because we don't really have enough places where we're able to do that, where we're not on our phones, where we're not talking to people, where we're just sitting with ourselves. And obviously the acupuncture is doing something physiologically, but also like giving yourself the time and the break to have that moment in and of itself is deeply healing and
you're literally
peaceful.
Pinned down and you can't answer your phone even if it comes up. So it's like you really can just let go for a while. And you're Chanel's right. We don't do that in our society. We don't give ourselves permission to do that. So this kind of forces it.
I feel like there's more of a movement and maybe it's been around forever, but we're getting it here in terms of mindfulness, you know, talking about mindfulness and meditation and then something like this. But I feel like all of it kind of is dancing around like nap time.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. which we don't really have anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's like maybe there's just a basis for us to have like the, I don't know, it seems like it goes along with that, like a permission to rest, to be at rest.
Yeah. Something I've been told by, I mean, massage therapists, everything, like, wow, you're really tense. Like, oh, you just need to relax. I'm like, I am relaxed.
Yeah.
So if we did institute, like, you know, a societal nap time, I'd probably be one of the latest adopters of it. Because how can you nap when you have things to do?
We ask about how quickly acupuncture tends to affect people and whether clients tend to come weekly, monthly, or if it's just a one-time thing.
Some people feel relief immediately, but it might not last for very long. You slip back into those old patterns of disharmony pretty quickly. So that's where the repeat treatments really come into play with acupuncture, reminding the body again, okay, yeah, this is what you want to do. This is your state of health here.
Is the goal then to have the body fix itself eventually, or is acupuncture always a long-term thing? Or is it supposed to be as long as it takes your body to hopefully fix this on its own?
Yeah, it's not meant to be something that you have to do for a particular condition, mm-hmm. but a lot of people find that they enjoy it for maintenance and prevention. Mm-hmm. So we'll have patients that just have a standing appointment just to kind of keep everything in check every 2 weeks, once a month kind of thing. But then we do manage a lot of chronic conditions for people. So the body might not get to the point where it fully heals, mm-hmm. and we help them maintain.
Pretty much any of those chronic conditions, like rheumatoid arthritis or arthritis in general, fibromyalgia. So a lot of these conditions where there aren't real great treatments, acupuncture can help that person live comfortably while they still have that concern.
Are people licensed to do this?
Mm. Good question. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good question.
Probably something I should have asked before I let somebody do that to me, but you're just trying to get in there and get it started.
Yeah. So in Idaho, we have licensed acupuncturists and certified acupuncturists. Licensed acupuncturists have had thousands of hours of training. Certified acupuncturists have had several hundred. And usually they're MDs, chiropractors. There might be a couple other professions that can practice as a certified acupuncturist. And then a licensed acupuncturist, that's our specialty. And so it's very important to make sure you're getting one or the other. If somebody's giving you acupuncture who's not one of those, they're doing it illegally.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Next, we ask about the co-op structure of the clinic, which Chanel breaks down for us.
Most people do get acupuncture in a one-on-one setting, mm-hmm. with a practitioner, and the community acupuncture movement has been growing in the United States, and the goal of the movement is to create an accessible and affordable option for working class and limited income folks. Mm-hmm. So we charge on a sliding scale from $15 to $40 for a treatment. Your first time, you pay $10 extra. And the going rate in Boise for acupuncture for one treatment is about $100, $120.
Not to speak for you, but I think for both of us, like, what attracted us to this model also was it was hard to think of graduating and having this service to offer and not even being able to afford it ourselves. You know, so we're like, how do we make this for our friends and family? Yeah, how can you tell someone, yeah, come and I'll treat you. And you mortgage your house together? Yeah.
Like, are you going to pay me that?
Yeah, it's a little hard. So we really could see how having multiple minds and multiple ideas and the support of having a bigger staff can really make this blossom more than what we're doing.
It's
there.
Much more sustainable.
Much more sustainable, mm-hmm. yes. Now we're able to be open. It furthers our accessibility mission. We're open 7 days a week. We can take vacations without worrying about our patients or worrying about the business finances.
What is something about acupuncture that you would want just like the layman to know? Especially maybe somebody who's suspicious or doubting it or thinks it's a little, what is the word, hippy-dippy? Yeah.
Woo-woo or hippy-dippy, that's good. Yeah, why do they kind of rhyme like that? That's weird.
Well, I'd say the first thing is, no, it doesn't hurt.
Good one.
That's probably the biggest question for a lot of newbies, is if it hurts. Mm-hmm. And then I think without it being a real obvious question, a lot of people worry or wonder about what they have to believe. You know, I think that's a big thing. People are like hesitant because they're like, oh, what's going to happen if I try this? Mm-hmm. Do I have to actually believe that it's going to work? Do I have to believe in Buddhism? You know, you don't have to believe anything. We don't care what your beliefs are. It's going to have an effect on you physiologically, as we mentioned earlier. And so it's really great to be able to have a chance to just try it. And that's kind of what we want to do, is just open that door to say, look, there's nothing really woo-woo-y happening here. Like, there might be an acupuncture guy sitting right there that's looking at him. Yeah.
We have a few salt lamps, too. Yeah, a little bit hippy-dippy.
I don't smell so much patchouli, though, yeah. So yeah. Definitely.
We have to up our patchouli every day.
Yeah. Is it an all-female staff?
It is currently.
Right now.
We don't have anything against men.
But I think that makes it cool.
We do have male volunteers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, they do laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do laundry.
Yeah. 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 If you want to get on the whole like female business part of it, three females started the clinic and started a nonprofit that's functioning pretty well and employing five different people.
Yeah, in 5 years we have more than doubled our capacity in our business. So that's not bad. That's
very nice.
And when it started, they were treating out of DeLynn's garage.
Yeah, we were.
That was the start. We're looking for a space. Most of our return patients that were just like, you can't leave me without my acupuncture. Okay, here's a chair in the garage.
You're going in the garage. And they're like, okay, whatever. Wherever you want it. Yeah. So, it was a little garage band at the beginning.
Yeah.
But.
Just with like one more thing to let people know about acupuncture, I think, is the safety of it. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but all of the needles that we use are single use. That's a state requirement.
You get by a professional. Who question it because of the needles?
Some of that, and they just don't understand what the training is to do this, and so there's just not a lot of information and education out there about it.
I was thinking that as you were sticking needles into me and ran to me seemingly random places. I'm like looking at this hand. I'm like, well, they're not in the same place. What does this mean? And I'm looking at my feet. And I'm like, they're in different spots. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I was like, if I came back and said the same exact thing, would she put them in the same spot? I don't know. Well, like, where's the science? I'm not sure. Show me a map.
Just going through my mind.
Yeah. And as I'm looking at this guy, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, but you'll still, you know, get a different treatment every time. Mm-hmm. You know, first, because different practitioners can have a different approach. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different styles to acupuncture. And amazingly, they can all be effective. Mm-hmm. And they can be very different. Mm-hmm. And so you won't get the same treatment. But even from the same practitioner, you're different when you come in each time, even with the same condition. Mm-hmm. You know, we feel that pulse and, you know, sometimes pick up on other subtle things going on that are like, okay, yeah, we're going to do slight differences today.
What do you feel in my pulse? What is that? That's what I want to know. This is what I'm going to go out in the car and say if you don't tell me right now.
Well, what is it? Well, so we have a couple of different diagnostic tools that we use. One major one is the pulse. And so what we're doing is we're feeling the quality of the blood pumping through your vein. So what does that feel like? So we'll say, okay, does that feel kind of soft? Is it sort of depleted? Maybe this person's fatigued, or maybe they aren't sleeping well, or they're anemic. You know, we'll start breaking it down in our heads while we're talking with you. Does this person's pulse feel really taut? Is it tense and wiry? And that's going to reflect what's happening inside your body.
Gretchen talks a bit about the use of acupuncture to battle the opioid epidemic.
It's sort of twofold. Is one, that acupuncture is a good substitute for pain management to actual use of opioids, but the other piece of it is that when you are addicted to opioids, acupuncture can help get off of them and help relieve any addiction. The military is starting to use it. There's Blue Cross is in Tennessee now, is using it, having doctors be trained in it to use it to help people get off the opioids, because it helps to detox your body. It helps to control the withdrawal symptoms.
So where is this at in Idaho?
Here.
Do they send people here that have an addiction to opioids, or is it treatment centers or rehab centers that are employing acupuncturists to do this kind of stuff?
Not yet. Which is part of what we're trying to you know, nourish and educate. Because it will eventually, I think we'll have practitioners of all different kinds using them everywhere. Right now we do have acupuncturists like at Misty, you know, helping with cancer treatments, and we have acupuncturists I think at St. Al's too, and we have some acupuncturists helping with birthing center stuff.
Just like the thought of addiction and how that's managed. My mom quit smoking by being hypnotized, and my dad did too. Like, it's kind of weird, but kind of awesome. Yeah. And why not try everything?
Yeah.
We say our goodbyes to Gretchen, Stacy, and Chanel, who refuse to take our money, and head out to the car to debrief.
So back in.
Back in.
Can you see any of my holes? Oh, I do see yours.
Do
your
you?
Third eye.
Really?
Do you see mine? You might just have big pores.
I do have big pores. Why do you have to call attention to it? I thought you had one up here.
I had one like in my hairline, yeah. And then a third eye one.
I don't feel like I see it.
Huh. Wow.
What were your thoughts?
I'm so much younger. My skin has so much more elasticity.
Wow, I can't believe you're calling attention to... It's true.
Oh, no. I'm kidding.
I will say I had some trepidations about a communal room like that, and it was totally undercut, those kind of the trepidation about it.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was fine. It was actually really, really relaxing.
It was relaxing. I think the only thing that kept me from getting there wasn't that they were distracting. I was just curious.
Yeah.
I'm like checking out everybody. And honestly, it was super busy. There almost every chair was full at some point or had somebody sitting in it, and all different ages, genders.
Yep.
Like I couldn't pin one type of person that was in there. You
split almost down the middle in terms of men and women, it seemed like.
Yeah. I think that's why I was just too curious about what this was all about. I think I would have to go back another time at least to give it a fair shot of like really being able to relax and not pay attention to what's going on around me.
Yeah. It felt kind of strangely intimate.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit like being next to you. It felt like a couple's massage or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe it is because it's kind of an intimate, you know, I mean, you're getting some kind of a procedure or something done. So. Yeah.
They're really nice people and like really willing to educate and inform, which I always appreciate. I felt not, even though I was an outsider or a newbie, I didn't feel worried about that or self-conscious about that because they were so open with their information.
Mm-hmm.
And that put me at ease.
Yeah,
definitely.
Totally.
So,
should we take a break and head back?
We should. Time for a nap.
LD, do you know what's going on with the removal of the Karcher overpass between Nampa and Caldwell?
Yeah, the Idaho Transportation Department is replacing the overpass to allow additional lanes to be built on I-84.
So that's like common knowledge?
Yep.
Where are you reading this from?
I'm not reading anything. I just learned it from ITD's new podcast, Drive Idaho.
I did not know that existed.
Yeah, no kidding. Drive Idaho is a podcast devoted to providing news and information about road projects right here in the Treasure Valley.
So where do I find this podcast?
Oh, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm subscribing right now.
It's about time.
So?
Back after our poking session.
And back post-poke in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, at least initially, we should clarify, because we didn't have a whole lot of time to break it down, like the pain level? I mean, how far did the needles really go in? I know you were looking, and we talked about this, I think, on the way back after we kind of packed everything up.
We did. They went in further than I thought they would. But I think that's why they're flexible, right? So they're flexible needles.
Yeah.
She said they're thinner than a cat whisker.
Yeah.
Right? So, but when I watched her put them in, it's like they go in initially, and then they get pushed on the top further in, and it was like, oh, wow, that really goes in there. So, like, in your arm or in your leg, okay, fine, but in my head,
like
when
my actual
actually,
head,
when they actually go
the
in your forehead, in your forehead or my forehead,
is
like,
is this touching my skull?
Where does this go? Where's the like, when it's being pushed in, does it just go underneath the skin? Like, it just bends when it hits the skull? I have no idea.
But honestly, on a pain level, it wasn't painful. I mean, it wasn't It was more mild than a bee sting, because a bee sting has that burning sensation. It was just the initial, you can feel it go in, and I think some spots are a little sensitive, more sensitive than others, but...
It feels like if someone poked you with a toothpick, but then it's immediately gone. It's like poke and then it's gone.
Yeah.
It's,
and even afterwards, like you move around, like people were under blankets. I'm like, you're under blankets and it's on top of these needles, even though they're flexible. But you just kind of feel that they're there, but it doesn't necessarily hurt.
No.
It's weird. Yeah. And I was like wagging my head around. I could feel the one in my third eye. Like I had a tail sticking out of my forehead. So, and I do want to go on record to say, I don't know if I'm converted completely yet. I had them specifically treating my feet because I have stress fractures. And and when we went there, the bones of my feet actually hurt me most days. Mm-hmm. And it was plaguing me that morning. And when we left there, it was not. And I was like, yeah, well, when I got home, I did a workout that included things like running and box jumps, which is like hard on your feet.
Yeah, for sure.
Didn't hurt. And then my foot pain did not come back for 4 days.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what to think about that. You know, like, I know I've been told by doctors that like the feet are a hard place to heal because circulation is so poor there. So maybe it does make sense if you poke your foot with a needle, it draws your body's attention to it. Like, there's this foreign thing and we need to kind of attack it. So your blood starts circulating more. Or maybe it was all in my head.
Yeah. I will say for me, it was extremely calming. Mm-hmm. I would like to try that again because of that. I was just like, wow, I did not expect this to be so calming or to almost fall asleep. What about your central concern?
Yeah. I believe it was kind of like, what is the story here? How does a group like this get started? And specifically, you know, you chose to go this co-op route. And it was interesting getting to talk to the women because it sounds like they're actually making more money as a nonprofit business. Mm-hmm. And that's because they're making acupuncture more accessible to more people.
And sustainable, maybe, for more people, both for their clientele, but then for themselves too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, they don't seem all that motivated by the money. No. You know, they seem motivated by the people in the practice. And again, creating that kind of accessibility factor. And it's pretty badass that it all started in a garage.
That is. I like that it's, like we said, it's a punk band or something like that. Band of punks. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
So I think my central concern was addressed. What else? Final?
I guess for me, one of the things that stuck out, you know, they said at one point, you know, we don't know exactly, we know less than we do know about it. And I guess I feel the same. I'm not sure I understand it, but I'm open to it.
Yeah.
Again, because I'm someone who does some of the research, I obviously dug into it a little bit after the fact. And there are, you know, there's peer-reviewed clinical data that backs up that it does work, particularly for pain management, even if the jury is kind of still out on how and why.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. It almost feels somehow akin to the why not. Or, you know, you even mentioned this at one point. You know, if you're struggling with an addiction or if you are having this chronic pain, why wouldn't you try it? You know, unless it's something that is, you know, that's really highly risky. But it's not, right?
No, it's not. And why wouldn't you try it? And maybe another thing that people would come up against is cost or affordability. But that's kind of what Boise Acupuncture Co-op is trying to address, I think. Right. And so really, why not? And give it a real good shot. And that's kind of was my last thing. I thought about it too, kind of in terms of physical therapy, where we're so much more apt to believe this physical therapy when it's like the same thing. You can't just go to PT once and be healed. Like you have to keep going. But yet when people are like, acupuncture, it might not work on the first time. You have to come back a couple. And we're like, it's a sham.
Really?
You just want my money. Yeah. Like, no, maybe really we should all do ourselves a favor and give it a good shot.
Yeah. And that's probably the case for many things in life.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. Our music is James Dean Kendall and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Our website is youknowtheplacepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at You Know the Place. And we'll see you next week.